Now, I was reading from verse 13. It said, these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Now, in the same manner, what it's saying in the next line is that there are many lords and kings on the earth. What they also do is that they give their own power and their authority to the Lamb. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. And he said, this is the reason why the Lamb will overcome them. That is, he has people on the earth that are working for him. Get my point. The Bible calls it the body of Christ. That is, anything that God will do on the earth, he will do through us. I hope you are getting my point. Whatever it is that God is going to do on this earth, he will do through his body on the earth. The body of Christ on this earth. So when he said that of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. What he's saying is that the people that are the body of Christ on the earth will continue to increase in their influence. Do you understand my point? That remember we said, if you read that Luke chapter, I think 19 was what we were reading just now. You'll find, I think we should read that one. Because you will notice something. What God does, Luke chapter 19, we're reading, I didn't finish it. He said the master went to receive a kingdom for himself. What did he do when he came back? In accordance to how the men have used the material things he gave them. See what he said. Let's just take an example. Verse 17. Well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. Now, are you following what I'm saying? That is, God's the authority of Jesus on the earth, which the Bible said there must be no end. It said of the increase of his government and of peace, there must be no end. As the government of Christ is increasing, it is indicated on the earth by how his servants are taking rulership over cities. Am I making sense? I'm talking to myself. Get me? I'm saying that what he's saying here is this. The contest, you know what I found out in recent times? With God, economics on the earth is very, very important. In fact, it's a sign of what is really happening in the spirit. If you want to check the impact or the amount of force exerted by the kingdom of darkness and by men on the earth who are far away from God, check the amount of money they are controlling. Believe what I'm saying. Believe it. I know what I'm saying. If you want to see the amount of influence that the kingdom of God is having on the earth, check the amount of wealth they are controlling. Get my point? I'm not saying that they are eating. I'm not saying about the size of car they are driving. You know, one of the mistakes we made about the prosperity message is that we thought prosperity was to buy a fat car. Are you getting my point? Men who don't have any influence, that's how foreigner is. Are you getting my point? That's plain foreigner. That is, you go and steal money and you buy a fat car. You are not, before God, you are as poor as can be. Do you get what I'm going to say? What God calls wealth, really, is influence that a man can exert on this earth. That's why the literal word for wealth in Hebrew is strength. Are you understanding what I'm going to say? He said, it is the Lord thy God that gave you the power to get strength. That is the ability to exert influence. Listen, wealth is not the amount of money you have that is disposable for you to eat with. No. It's the amount of influence that you have as a consequence of the world that you are controlling. Let me tell you the truth. We'll talk about that as we're going on. Let me tell you what. Spiritual things, I told you, always have physical manifestations. How you know that the kingdom of God didn't move much those days of, I'm sorry to say, SU and all that kind of thing, is because a lot of those men entrenched poverty in their mentality, and they thought it was good for a Christian to just be, well, he's a school teacher, he can hardly manage with the money he has, he wears bad clothes, but he's holy unto God. God is saying the kingdom of God is not progressing on the earth by him at all. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, this is God's ordinance. This is God's order. If the kingdom of God spiritually is advancing, economically, we will see it. You're not hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you the truth. The mistake we make sometimes is that we think that Christianity, that's a Christian television channel, TBN. I've told you TBN is not a Christian channel at all. Well, it's a gospel channel. You know, all right? I'm not saying they are not preaching the gospel. I am saying that is not God's plan. You know why? They can't rival CNN. I hope you know that. When people want news, they don't tune to TBN. I hope you know. Only Christians or people who are in distress tune to TBN when they are looking for comfort. It's true. If you want to check how the economy is doing, you don't get your information from TBN, do you? You buy Business Times. You buy Financial Standard. You tune to TBN. They tell you about this world stock market. But there is one thing you have to understand. The man that gives you information exerts a lot of power over what you believe. Did you hear what I said? Listen, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, for time's sake, I won't open to it. Moses said the men that went there to spy the land made the heart of the people melt. Did you hear what I said? That is what they could have easily overcome. By reason of the information they had, they gave up on it. Let me give a practical example. You have been struggling in your life and believing God for finances. And God says, you see, you are going to go over there. And within 2 days, I will cause you to become a billionaire. And all God is saying is just walk across this road. It will take you about 30 minutes to trek. All right? And you get to the other side. Then somebody comes. And so, boy, I heard they are shooting on that road. And that person goes, yeah, see snake, poisonous snake. See that guy that just died. It's his body. The snake beat him on that road. Somebody said that. I heard the bush around there has caught fire. I know nothing about God. He won't say anything again. He has told you, walk on that road. 30 minutes, you will be on the other side. At that point, you become a billionaire. You will hear all kinds of things. The good Lord, I don't know why he's so cool. He won't say anything. And then you will say, oh boy, if there is life, there is hope. The moment you utter that word, he said, my soul will no longer have pleasure in him. Then the angel look and say, the angel will be discussing, see that guy? Hi! He was 30 minutes away from millions, from billions of naira. But why did he stop? It was the power of the information they gave to him. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. I am saying that as long as the main people on the earth, feeding the earth information, are not of the kingdom of God, the earth is not going anywhere. There was something somebody shared. I was listening to a tape from my pastor in Lagos during the week. I ordered some of his tapes. I've been listening to them. When he said this, you know, it struck me very powerfully. He said, the greatest weapon you have in life to do anything is faith. It may sound trivial, all right, small, but it's a fact. He said, your faith is the greatest weapon that you have. That is absolutely true. The Bible said that this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? That is, no matter what the problem is, as long as I have my faith, I will overcome. He said, but Western propaganda, that is from America and Europe, what they do is that they steal away the faith of everybody from their own country. Every day they remind you that your nation is corrupt. They call you are the second most corrupt nation on the earth. They remind you that Nigeria is a poor country. They keep telling you that every day. Every time you tune TV, the only time you Nigeria features on CNN, there must be a problem. So that when we wanted to start privatization, no European country brought money. Why? The media stole away their faith from the country. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. They fed them so much information that they said there is nothing good happening in this land. You know the interesting thing? When the foreigners now step in, they see so much good, they don't want to go away. The current story that I heard, the one that has knocked me out, is about this, what do you call their name? Vodacom that tried to come to Nigeria. That thing knocked me out. That the men they brought to Nigeria, you know, they now pulled out that they are not doing again. That the men resigned and said, we are not going back. They stay with former Econet and started their V-Mobile. They said, we are not going. Ah, we can rubbish. Look at money. You want to carry us back to poverty. I'm telling you the truth. No, I'm going to explain something. That you see, the person that disseminates information, you know, the person is very powerful. If I ask you now, who discovered River Niger? What? Who did? Answer me. Mungo Park. Where were the Asabanicha people? River Niger is next to their house. You are telling me Mungo Park came to tell them this is River Niger. You must be crazy. Where were they? Did River Niger grow when Mungo Park, when the Britons were coming to Nigeria? But they were the one that taught your fathers and the teachers that taught you. So they told you that Mungo Park found out the Niger. You did not ask them, where was the Obi of Onitsha all this while? Are you getting what I'm going to say about the force of the people that control the information that you get? Of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. What God is saying is that there is a kingdom called information dissemination. Until I take it over, you guys have not gone anywhere. Are you getting my point? I don't mean that Winners Chapel Churches or Redeemed Christian Church of God or Kingdom World Ministries will buy it. Na lie. That was one mistake the ministry has made. I hear preachers preach sometimes that the church should be empowered. Churches should buy into companies. It's a lie. The moment you buy into a company, take it from me, that said that church won't last the next decade. You will enter into trouble. Because everybody must understand the law of boundaries. There are things that are your boundaries. God has never ordained for an assembly, all right, a church, to go and buy a company. It's the individuals in there that should go and buy the company. Look, one of the major problems we have in Christianity is the institutionalization of faith. That is, when you want to do something, if you're a member of Redeem, it must be done as a Redeem member. It's arrant nonsense, honestly. The reason why he gave you pastors and thought, the Bible says, is for the edifying of the saints, to build up the body of Christ, that you no longer be men tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That you should be able to get up. You get up, and as a person energized by the Spirit of God, you go and overthrow CNN. Then God said, kingdom is moving. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Now, I hope you are getting my point. So you see that when the Bible says, talk about the increase of his kingdom, listen, it's always expressed in economic matters. It's always expressed financially. Now, the mistake we have made, like I said, is not in the area of money. It's not that by not talking about money. One of the mistakes we made before is that, look, they said that the church before believed in poverty. The church that took over just swung to the other extreme. Without having understanding, they became covetous. I have seen ministers, look, their competition is the size of a car. He's a minister, he's a preacher. Do you understand my point? What is in his mind is that, see now, this guy in Lagos, you know, they gave him an E-class. This Enugu is a very dry place. All I'm driving is a Santana. Because it's a wrong concept of the teaching of prosperity. Prosperity, listen, the one you eat, I told you, that is your wages. That is the salary God is giving you for being a good and faithful servant. I read one portion of the scriptures to us to show you what the attitude God expects you to have. He said, which one of you having a servant, after the servant had worked money till night, he will not come and say, go and rest, you have tried. He said, nothing like that. You tell him, go and bring me my food. He said, do you say thank you for him, for all of this? He said, no. He doesn't deserve it. Why? He's a bloody servant. He said, that must be your attitude. Anything you do, don't expect God to say thank you. That is why, you know me, you know me. I don't believe on this. When you give 10 naira, God will give you back 100. I think it's around rubbish. When you the message should be, when you handle 10 naira well, God will say, you have handled 10 naira properly. I will give you 10,000 to handle. You are just as poor as you were at the beginning. Are you getting my point? I was preaching, like I told this morning in church, as I was speaking, because it was a message, interesting enough, that I did not prepare for at all. Get my point? I was leaving there. I just said, okay, let us welcome Pastor Banky. I stormed. Which Pastor Banky? This one? I was going outside. So I ran down to the pulpit. So I called one guy there. I said, what did the pastor say just now? He said, pastor said you should preach. You can't be serious. Anyway, I carried the microphone and began to preach. One of the things I said there, which, you know, is good, like at such times, I only speak by inspiration because I did not meditate before I was brought before the accusers or before the court. There was no meditation as to what I was going to say. One of the things I said, and I believe was instructive, it was powerful from the Spirit of God. I said, I never came to Enugu to make money. That I made money long ago. There was a period in Lagos when I made money. People will say, you have shares in First Bank and Nigeria Breweries. No. I said, there was a day I was reading Isaiah 66 verse 12 and the thing jumped into my heart. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, that was the day I made money. After that day, I started looking for where to be faithful. So when the opportunity opened to come to Enugu and come and show faithfulness to the service of God, I came. Listen to me, I don't care how dry they say it is. I am a faithful servant. I do not deserve thank you for anything I've done for God till today. God does not say thank you. I hope you get what I'm going to say. He fulfills his own part of the deal. That's all. If you will diligently hearken unto this thing, then the Lord thy God shall do this one. It's not thank you. It's a deal. It's a deal. You do your part, I do my part. Look, I've told you, God is not a kalokalo God. You can't drop 10 naira and expect 100. God, I gave you 10 naira. God, I gave you 10 naira. According to your word, you promised 100-fold. He never did. He said some are 30. Didn't hear that one before. You know what that tells you? Some are zero. Your 10 naira can be multiplied by zero. You can be deceived in what you have believed. I hope you know that. He never promised anybody. Look, I don't know what this kind of thing. You have to understand the quality of his promises, how they work. What he said is, I give you 100. You do with it as I have commanded. And if you do well with it, I will see that you are able to handle 10,000. You remain my servant that is not worthy of thank you because you are my servant. I won't thank you for anything. I like one thing I heard from Kola long ago. He said that Joseph was a servant from the beginning to the end. He never did anything but serve. Our perverted minds make us think the man entered into affluence. No, he entered into the height of responsibility. So all the while, what God was testing was how he was handling his responsibilities. When he got to the throne in Egypt, that was his reward. His reward, you are joking. Was it a reward? That was where he was being prepared for. Hey, do you get the point I am making? How can you call it a reward? They were preparing him for the place. But the process of preparation was simple. Prove yourself faithful. We'll be giving you small things. As you prove yourself faithful, we find out that you can handle bigger things. So when they took him into jail, it was to show how he will withstand under adversity. It was in Potiphar's house. It was to show how he will withstand under prosperity. When the guy has shown the strength of his character everywhere, God said, now I know this guy won't go crazy, even though I make him what? The ruler of Egypt. I hope you are understanding the principle of fruitfulness, of prosperity. That is, God is not, look, I've told you, why didn't God double the size of your stomach when he doubled your salary? That stomach remained exactly the same size because he's not planning to increase what you are eating. You know, all of you that have just passed 7th MBA, what did you call it now? Let me warn you seriously. I like to tell young doctors this especially. Be careful how you spend your salary this first 1 year of life. That's what I'm going to say. Because one of the greatest mistakes young men make, they think now is my time. Unfortunately, it is their time for failure. They don't understand it. If you can make up your mind, at the end of this year, I will not gather any worldly possession to do you good. I'm telling you the honest truth. I know why I'm saying so. First 1 year of life. It's the time you should buy as many books as you can and give as much offering as you can. That is, when I say offering now, please, I'm not asking for money. You understand my point? Look, just do good as you can. How do I say this? Disappoint the devil that with money you will never get me. It's a good time. I'm telling you the honest truth. It's a very good time. Let me tell you what. Most people who are poor because God cannot afford to make them rich. It is risky. Do you hear what I said? God said, this man, he goes spoil something if I give him money. And then he will pray and pray and pray. And you have to understand that prayer is like a court case. You are arguing cases before God. After you make so much noise, before the judge, because that judge the Bible was talking about, he said was an unrighteous judge. Let me tell you what that meant. It means that there was nobody to fear. People say that it means that God is, it can't be a type of God because God is righteous. That's not the point. The point there is that the man feared not God and did not fear man. That is, there was nobody that could do anything to him. That's exactly how God is. So when the woman will shout and shout and shout, in the same manner, that's when we are praying and praying and praying. At the end, God will say, all right, let me prove to you yourself that you are a poor man. Gabriel, send him 10,000 naira. And the moment he gets it, God, thank you. There's somebody knocking, oh boy, now wow, this 500 naira, where I need now? If I just get some, now God don't answer my prayer with that. The guy said, man, I believe God for 10 years for this 10,000 naira. Pian can't go drop. God turned to Gabriel. I told you he's a poor man. He doesn't realize that single act he has explained to the angels and the devils that he's a poor man at heart. Let me tell you the truth. You young women, don't marry a stingy man. I'm telling you the truth. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Please. It's not that any person that holds on to material and physical things is setting you up for poverty. Are you getting my point? Because when God was talking about that man whose field harvested so much, produced so much, the problem was that he held on to it. God said, which kind of useless fellow is this one? Listen, what God is doing is setting up people for greater responsibility, because he's like a man that has gone to take a kingdom. The kingdom will be maintained as he has people to stay in charge of cities. You want to know what cities are? CNN is a city. Nigeria Brewery is a city. Coca-Cola is a city. Mobile is a city. And you know what God said about cities? Let me show you something. I think Exodus 23. He said, of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. That is, God's plan is not to give you more food. Look, the size of your stomach will not increase. The idea is that you are supposed to be God's administrator. Do you get the point I'm making? That influence on this earth is wielded with financial power. Hey, look, I want to teach somewhere today. I said, in fact, somebody was saying something. We were talking about HIV, AIDS and all that. It was in a church this morning. And the person, one man who was talking before that, he said, the greatest thing you should be afraid of is fear. That if you just tell a man he's HIV positive, next week he has lost weight already. You know, nothing happened to him. He has already lost weight. I told the story of a friend of mine who told a patient that you have cancer of the liver. The man who was fairly well before died that month. There's another story of a man who told somebody he had a terminal illness, and the man died as the doctor prophesied. Except that when they did an autopsy, he had nothing. He was perfectly okay. He died because he was told he was going to die. Listen, words there, they are very, 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 very powerful. What I'm saying therefore is, as long as the devil is controlling what people are hearing, the church is not, look, the increase of his kingdom is very slow. You want to talk about increase of kingdom? I'm not saying that you're going to start your own rival company and say, Jehovah El Shaddai News International. That's not what we are talking about. You understand? It's not that name. All right? God has come in the form of man enterprises. That is not what we are talking about. I'm telling you the truth. It's that I have a company, I have a business, and I was telling the place I went to preach today, okay? I was telling them that, listen, every time you hear every day that AIDS has no cure, so It will never have cure because he keeps saying he doesn't have any cure. And anybody that is HIV positive knows that he has died. I said, but the truth is that it has a cure. Do you get my point? God still cure. Look, can you imagine Jesus is walking by and somebody touched him? He said, what's your problem? He said, HIV. He said, that one does not have cure. No, imagine that somebody who is sick touched the Lord Jesus and he said that, oh boy. If my issue of blood now for try, but it's no, that one is very powerful. So I told the people, because they were HIV patients and stuff like that, was in the church. I said, this thing has a cure. Let's start from there. It does. Romans chapter 8 says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. But so if I run a radio station and I hear one testimony, authenticated testimony of a man who got healed by the power of God, it will not have to be miracles are here again. I will just state it as a fact. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a fact. Is it a lie? No. But I hope you know that the press of this world, they don't do that. Anything that seems to tell people that God is alive and well, they cover it. They want to show you that the world is coming to an end rapidly. They blow it open. CNN is, in my opinion, is a satanic channel. I say that, I know what I'm saying. It doesn't have to do human sacrifice on air for you to know. It's just the attitude. Look, I think it's a very great weapon. God can use it for what he wants to, but what it does mostly is bad news. I used to get a Time magazine every week. So every day you get a letter, your subscription is about to end. I say, I won't pay you people a molten, you know, those is 5 kobo, you know, when you have coins that's old, you know, it will be worn out. I say, in 1 5 kobo, I won't pay for one edition of Time magazine. If you send it free, I will scan through. In fact, most of them I don't even read. I just look for the news in there. I throw it anyway. I said, maybe I can buy Newsweek. Because you can see this. Now, some of the people doing it may not even know what they are doing. But inside it is a calculated attempt to make the heart of men fail them. I was watching CNN one Christmas. Hey! When I tell the story, it's like it's a joke. But as I saw this thing, I'm not a foolish person. I saw it. They were showing one bishop from England. He was talking about Iraq and world peace and global diseases and everything. So CNN quickly said, Bishop, yes, they joined the service live. The man said, all this boils down to one fact. We have to know that Jesus came. The moment he said that, the signal scrambled. I can't remember whether it was Rizkan or Jonathan Mann. One of them said, we are sorry, we've lost the signals because of some. There was some. The moment you open, nobody told me. I was watching it. That is, when God enters into that, is to wake up one day, sack all the newscaster for talking nonsense. That is, when financially, listen to me, when you prophesy that dust with Babylon come down and will not rise again, it won't just sink. Do you understand? A king greater than Nebuchadnezzar walked in and dethroned him. Do you understand the point I'm going to make? In the same manner, if you prophesy to Nigerian Tobacco Company that in Ibadan that they will sink and not rise again, they won't just sink like that. Somebody will come buy it, buy the land and sack everybody and drive all the white men and their cigarettes back to England. Is it Nigerian Tobacco? British American Tobacco. Those are satanic enterprises. You know the person will not benefit from cigarettes. You know that he will not only not benefit, he will be killed by it. Yet you say you have brought foreign investment. May God punish all of them and their foreign investment in that place. I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you what. If God empowers men enough, there are people who will make a call to the president. Say, that company must close. I hope you know that. And the president will say, oh boy, how now? He said, I say it must close. How will go down? He said, tell NAFDAC to go and seal the place. President will say, okay, NAFDAC, those cigarettes, I think they, last time I passed, they hurt my nose. Then I will say, is that so? You first close them first for selling unwholesome products. Let
Let me tell you what.
Some people are complaining, George Bush did not win election. That's your problem. Nobody wins election on the earth. I hope you know that. It is not today it started. Everyone, Obasanjo just rigged the election. That's your problem. George Bush too rigged the election. Yet, no king is without God's authorization. So you can be making noise. There is no democracy has never been God's mind at all. God has never calculated men's votes equally. What kind of joke is that? Buy stocks in a company and say, well, human beings, it's one vote. No, how many shares do you have? He says 10,000. 10,000. And you are talking. Me, I hold 12 million shares. So for every vote I have, you have next to no vote. Is that no be so? And you vote according to your earning power in that company, but according to the amount of interest you have. In the same manner, God chooses people according to the amount of. Let me say it like this. I will explain this thing, and I'll say something. I'll explain it. According to the amount of soul power they wield in a place. Let me explain what I'm saying. God said that you will rule over the beasts of the field and stuff like that. Now, I'm not trying to support some stupid practices here, but I want to explain something. I was telling you last time, when God was testing Job, he told Satan, go and touch everything that he has. Is that not what he said? And they killed all his servants. What does that tell you? The human beings were his possessions. You never read it? His servants, all that, look, his children were his possession. His flock were his possession. His houses were his possession. The servants that were watching over the flocks were his possession. They had no life of their own. So when God wanted to test Job, they died. When David sinned against God, and God was going to punish the land, I was surprised that, but it was David that sinned. Yet, 70,000 people died in the land. None of them in the house of David. What does that tell you? After I read that thing, I said, God, may I not be anybody's possession on this earth? Some people are shouting democracy. They are possessions of other people. They don't have a voice. Democracy. How can Job be voting and his servant too will queue up and say it is one vote per person? Are you mad? Go and read my tract. I will only call before God. Or I change the title now to highly esteemed. Come on, oh boy. There is no equality in this thing. You know, I meditated back about something that happened in the world before. And I shake my head. That it was only in the land of Israel that men were equal. I'm serious. According to God's decrees, he had to decree equality upon them. Before that, nobody understood it. The most righteous laws they had at that time, if you kill a poor man's child, you pay. You kill a rich man's child, they kill you back. What God had to decree. Now, when I look at some of those things, you see, it's not as if those people were stupid. It wasn't exactly like that. There is more to these things than meets the eye. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That in life, you increase the value of your person. And the way you do it is how you work with God. Are you getting the point I'm making? In Israel, David was not equal to anybody else. The only men who could talk were prophets. Are you crazy when David is talking? David judged a man to death for a sin that he committed. Eh? When they told him he was the one, he begged and God forgave. Do you know? I told you, even in common law, there's legal immunity. Abi, thank you very much. Human beings understand that all men are not equal. They were created equal. Do you understand my point? They are potentially equal. But by how they work on this earth, they give themselves so value. Even men who do rituals like murder, they don't say no be every head, get power. That is like, it's not everybody that has value to that they can use. That's why all the crazy men on the streets, they don't arrest them and use them for ritual murder. Do they bother? Now, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That in this life, that's the way it is. Wealth that we are talking about, is that God will increase your value so that when you speak on the earth, is your voice. There will be 1 million people, but you have spoken too bad. That one person speaks and the voice of 1 million other people, their voices are hushed. They can't talk. That's how there will be increase of his kingdom and of peace. I hope you are understanding and following the point I am making. That the idea of wealth on this earth is not to eat more. That was where the prosperity message went crazy. So a man buys a new car. Now, get my point? He saved up money for a year and borrowed 50% of the money. Not only has he deprived himself and everybody else for the previous 1 year, he's going to do it for the next 1 year. And he now passed the car outside. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. This is prosperity. That is utter nonsense. Let me tell you what. If he had been trekking and jumping from one bike or bus to another, but that money he has put in that thing, he has started a small business with it. God considers him more prosperous. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That is, at least he has employed two people. He's already wielding power over two people. There's one little girl that works with me here one day. I told her, I came once or twice. I didn't meet her. Next time I came. Next time I come here, this time you are not here, you are sacked instantly. Do you understand? Since then, she has not missed one. Look, her righteousness has been impeccable. Now, are you getting the point I am making? That is, wealth is not that I now drive a big car, yet you have no influence. You understand? In fact, you know, I told the thieves, they will wait for you. God will call two thieves. Please, there's one of my sons is irresponsibly driving a car bigger than his size. Go and steal it. I'm telling the truth. That one, after you have put all kinds of security, as you get to your house, you say, "Okay, calm down." You will come down, they will drive the car and say, "Thank you very much," and drive away. After that, you say, "Lord, I have learned that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." I hope I'm making sense. What I wanted to share today, I think let me just stop, is I want to talk about this issue of being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. The idea is that there must be an increase of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. He said the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's the vision God has shown us. That is supposed to be our guiding principle. We are talking about creating wealth. It is not to eat fatter. Get that clear. The idea is simple. That there must be an increase of the kingdom of God by my hands. That's the idea. That's the idea. There was a story, I think, remember I told you the story before. I think it would be good to repeat the story now just to illustrate this thing. About one very rich man who went somewhere one day and saw a poor man lying under a tree in the morning, a fisherman. I told the story. Okay. So he asked the man, I read this somewhere, I can't remember where exactly. He said, "Why are you not out fishing? It's just 11 o'clock in the morning." The man said, "I've caught enough fish for the day." So the man looked at the time, 11. "So why don't you just go out and catch some more fish?" The man said, "What will I do with the extra fish that I will catch?" The man said, "You could sell it." I said, "Well, after selling it." He said, "Yeah, if you sell that enough, then you can buy another boat." The guy said, "What will I do with the other boat?" He said, you have one other person, you know, You can catch more fish." This man, "Look, all this for more fish. When I have caught more fish, what will I now do with even more fish I'm catching?" I said, "You sell it again, and maybe you can buy outboard motors for your boat, and you can now go to deeper waters and fish some more. And then you catch more fish." This more fish is an issue. The guy said, "Look, when you go on like that, after some time..." Now, he was an industrialist. Alright? He said, "After some time, you can have fleets of boats, you can even buy fishing trawlers, they will go, you know, ships go and fish for you and bring the ship, the fish." The man was looking like, "Hold this for more fish." It's okay, after I have done all of this, I now have fishing trawlers, fishing with nets, no longer, you know. So what will I now do? What will I now do? The rich man said, "Then you can really enjoy life." Like, he said, "You become a rich man like me." He said, "What will I do then?" He said, "Then you can really enjoy life." So he looked at the man, removed his pipe from his mouth, and said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" He was smoking a pipe, you know, relaxing under a cool breeze, 11 o'clock in the morning under a tree. He said, "I go through all of that just to get back to where I am right now." He said, "No, it's not worth it. Thank you very much." Now, that is how perverted some of us Christians think. by reason of the wrong teaching of prosperity that we had. We think the idea is so that now you'll be rich, you will now be able to enjoy life. But both of them are making mistakes. The poor man is poor. Physically, spiritually, in his soul, he's poor. His vote is very small. God doesn't count it much. The rich man, if he understood it very well, is actually richer. Why? Because if this poor man followed what he was saying, by the time he has about 4 or 5 trawlers, each trawler will be manned by at least 6 people. That will be like 30 people who are making more money than he currently is making sitting down there. Those 30 people can now give to charity. That's why Paul said, teach men to walk so that they will have to be able to give to those who are in need. Then they can give to charity. Of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, that way there will never be an end. That's the principle of wealth. Yes, the enjoyment is enjoying will just continue. You are enjoying now, it's good. But how can you enjoy now when you are not having any influence on this earth? You are not allowed to take your rest. Get my point? The rest that God wants to give you must not come until your influence has spread to every piece of land that God has commanded that you should have. That is wealth. That you cannot decree righteousness in your city. I told you the story of Guinness. What's his first name again? I've forgotten that. The man who started the Guinness. That Guinness was not a drink. It was somebody's name. He just made Guinness. The man instituted legal reforms in the British legal system. It was because of him they started having lawyers who now go and argue cases before court. Before then, when you annoy him, he say, I saw you eyeing the same woman that I was planning to marry. Opari. The fire breaks out. You draw your gun. We do a duel. You've heard of duels. Yeah, we shoot each other. Who will kill the other person first? The man said it is not correct. But he could say that because he had become a lord, a member of the House of Lords. You understand my point? And he became a member not because his father was a rich man. He was a new money. You know what they call new money? He was freshly rich. Because of his philanthropy and the amount of wealth he controlled, they made him a lord. And when he got in there, the guy instituted legal reforms that all of us inherited in Nigeria. You know, our legal system is based on the British type, the British one. That is what the Bible means when it said, of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. Listen to me, as a child of God, that's what I call the vow of prosperity. You must vow in your life, you must have influence. It's not to pervert justice, it's to ensure that there is justice. You know, I told you, was it you and I discussed? I said, look, if I become president or somebody of influence today, it was in my office, we're discussing. I said, you know, the first thing I'll do, I said, I will sack the current IG. I don't think he's doing anything. That is, I wish that man would be sacked. Tafa Balogun, is that his name? Yes. Tafa is doing nothing. Tafa, when I was small, was the Pawan Tafa inside one of our books. It was on Tafa. He's not doing anything. But I can't say anything directly to the president about him because I am not a man of economic power. I hope you get my point. If all the great men who plan economic policy in Nigeria decide that guy is a threat to stability, you know he's gone. He's gone instantly. Why do I say, for the record, why do I say the man is not doing anything? The amount of oppression that we were discussing last time, that the policemen are still oppressing the innocent people, is too much. I mean, it's so big that according to Adams Oshiomhole, it cannot be hidden. You know, Adams, when they were saying that there was so much smuggling, he said if smuggling of wealth is so much that it can cause problems locally, there must be big business. It's not small smuggling. He said if it is big business, it means it cannot be hidden. And if it cannot be hidden, it means we are seeing it. How many of them have you arrested? That's what Adam said in 1994. They're still telling me that smuggling is the reason why you want to deregulate for it. He said, because if smuggling was such a big problem, should have caught at least 2 smugglers for us to see. But you have never caught any. For such a big business, big enough to destabilize our fuel supplies locally, then you are not being sincere. And that's by the way. Now, I'm trying to say that by reason of what I feel, at that time, you know, a lot of prayers we pray, I'm being honest with you, is out of poverty. You know, you can't do anything. So all you can do is pray. If you could do something, you probably would have prayed a little less about that matter. It's good to pray. I'm not saying it's not good to pray. All right? You must never trust in physical things.